Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Homo Casino Resort, the player's place.
I would think, Woods, you, maybe more than anyone, would agree with Mike Schilt. Here's one of the quotes he had in Kevin Acey's piece. Because remember, this wasn't just Kevin Acey writing on his own. He talked with Mike Schilt for 2 hours.
Yeah, 2 hours on the phone.
And got many quotes from Mike. And this one in particular stood out to me. Mike Schilt said, I can accept that I had high standards and I held people to a high standard for the betterment of the players and organization. That's my job. I am completely aware I challenged the staff.
Yeah.
He's not denying he was hard on his colleagues, his coaches, and his staff.
Yeah.
And now radio and baseball are totally different things.
Sure.
But I have worked in radio now for a quarter of a century, almost 30 years now. Wow, I'm getting old. No one I have ever worked with has had a higher standard than you have.
Thank you. I take that as a compliment.
It is a compliment.
I agree 100%.
Thank you both. I take that as a compliment.
You raised
sometimes,
the bar.
Sometimes it can make you difficult.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
To work with and frustrating to work
sure.
with.
Sure. Absolutely.
But you want to win.
Yeah.
And you want to do a good job.
Yeah.
And you feel like, now you're not the manager.
No.
So that makes it awkward sometimes.
Sometimes.
But I think sometimes you'd like to hold everybody in this building, sales, our managers, people above you, people below you, to a higher standard
indeed.
If you could.
Indeed.
That's a very Schilt-like quality that you possess.
But I also take into account my experiences when I started and how psychotically and poorly I was treated at times. And I try to remember that, you know, as I move forward in relationships, you know, and I think I've done that. But I liked this part of the article a lot. His methods was the subtitle. Schilt helped make the Padres better. Everyone said that. No one said the team would be better without him, though plenty were looking forward to the opportunity to do so, which is totally a shot. Some of the coaches that had the biggest beef with Schilt also said he made me a better coach. I mean, we've all had people in our lives. And in fact, I think back to my first radio experience. It was not a good one. It put me in severe turmoil. Severe. Never had a panic attack in my life till I started this job. Never. Never had anxiety. Nothing. But you know what? I took the good and I left the bad. And I took the lessons and it made me a much better host and a much better teammate on all that. I took the good, all the things I learned, and applied them instead of bringing the, Paulie, why are you blinking? You're blinking a lot. When you blink, that means you didn't sleep last night. You failed comedy school. These are all the things that I heard. I would never do that to you. I would never do that to you. You know, like those are the things that I said. I'm leaving those by the wayside, but I'm going to take the discipline that it takes. I'm going to take the projection, the content, all of that stuff. I'm going to take those lessons and ride and see what happens. But you know, difficult is one thing. Psychotic is a totally different thing. And I'm not calling Mike Schilt psychotic. I'm saying I've had some really psychotic experiences. But Benny, again, I think if you didn't learn from the previous one and you didn't learn from, or you haven't yet, you know, gotten the opportunity to learn from this one, that's the tough part for me. You want to see growth. What did Major Garrett say when we had him in? If you ripen.
The second you start ripening, you start rotting.
Correct. something like that. And it made sense in my head when he said it. But there, if there's no growth and there's no adjustment, if there's no adjustment and things get spiraling out of control, it's tough. And, I, you know, listen, just as a we are guys that we did manager's report every day or every Friday for a year. Then it was every other Friday. The year one, working with Schulte, you just didn't know what to expect. And it gave me agita, man. It kept me up at night. I had panic attacks about it. Like, it was really gnarly. And then it wasn't. Like, everything was fine last year. We had some fun. We butted some heads, sure. He didn't like some questions. I didn't like some answers. But that's normal. These are all the normal things that happen in the course of a baseball season. But turns out, you know, the not wanting to be questioned, you know, even with superiors and things like that, that's when you can run into trouble. And I think that's what happened.
I think we all, you know, want the Padres to have success going forward. And I think it is imperative that you hold on to the good things that Mike Schilt brought.
100%.
The high standards are critical.
It's critical.
You can't be successful without those high standards. Can you also do it in a better atmosphere that fosters a little more, you know, positivity? I think it is possible. But you can't just say, yeah, no. Whatever makes you happy, whatever, you know, whatever you're feeling like today, you have to have high standards in that job. There's no successful coach, manager in sports, Paulie, right, that wins without high standards and being a little bit demanding at times.
I mean, it's just there's such a wide spectrum when it comes to, like, at least right now in this example, we're talking about professional sport coaches. Like, there's a difference between Nick Saban and Bobby Knight. They probably have a lot in common, but their methods are probably completely different.
I bet they're more similar than you think. I really do.
You know what? I was at San Diego State yesterday and interviewing a couple of the players who have been with the program for a while. Miles Byrd, Reese Dixon Waters.
Yes, Reese Dixon Waters.
And talking about Brian Dutcher. Dutch is a real nice guy, but he has high standards and is demanding of his players. You think he's not? You think because he's Midwest and, right, you know, he's smiling and he's polite and he doesn't, you know, use bad language in front of you that he doesn't have high standards and he's demanding of his players and he expects them to be on time and working hard? The Aztecs work so hard. I mean, they work on defense and practice. You know how fun? I played basketball for a while. Working on defense in practice is the worst.
The absolute worst part of basketball is basketball, defense, practice. Your back hurts so bad.
And the Aztecs do it probably more than any other college basketball team in America. It sucks. And Dutch makes him do it all the time.
What a tough...
But he also is, you know, a supportive, caring, and nurturing person.
I think, real quick,
But Schilt is that way to his players. He's that way. He's absolutely that way to his players. There's no question.
Schilt seems like the kind of guy who probably gives really good advice, help, teaching, whatever you want to call it, but doesn't take his own advice. Doesn't take his own medicine. Doesn't practice what he preaches.
I love something that AC said that Schilt did with his coaches. He said before the season, he had all of his coaches like write out and come in like, what did they want out of their careers? And how can I help you get to where you want to go?
That's exactly right.
I mean, who doesn't want that in a leader and a manager? There's a lot of good there with Mike Schilt.
A lot.
I just can see him grabbing whatever player you want to throw into this hypothetical and just put his arm around him. Hey, man, don't worry about the outside noise. Don't worry about what anyone said. You know, you got this. But I don't think he can do that.
Right.
He can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, he had a hard time doing it.
And I think that's a human thing to not, you know, not a great apples and oranges, but like my wife is very good at helping me with stuff, but like won't do it herself. You know what I mean? Like take care, you know. Take this medicine. I'm like, well, you sound like you're sick. Have you taken this medicine? You would have told me to take this medicine. You take the medicine.
Kez says in the chat, I don't like a leader who berates people lesser than him, which I agree with you. But according to Kevin Acey, he did it to his superiors as well.
Right.
Which, you know, I don't know if that means AJ, Groupner, ownership. Mike Schilt was not afraid to go to the people who paid him and say,
yeah, and
no,
guess what?
I don't like it. I will he'll snap at them, too.
Guess what? If you won a World Series, they'd be writing books about what a great leader he is. This is how dumb it is. They'd be writing books about the iron fist on which he ruled. And if he won two in a row, if he wins two World Series in a row, they would be writing books about, you know, Mike should be him on the cover, leadership, the Mike Schilt way. Right? Am I wrong?
Yeah, and 100%. Guess what? If the Padres find a way to score three runs in game five of the division series last year against the Dodgers, Dave Roberts is out of a job.
And Mike,
the Padres probably go on to win a World Series, and history is completely flipped. And it all comes down to one game.
Two games.
Yeah. But really that one game that, you know, the inability to hit against Yoshinobu Yamamoto.
Yep.
Which is now defining the Milwaukee Brewers' current history as well as their inability to hit Blake Snell in the first two games of the NLCS.
Yeah, for sure. And again, you know, AJ was quick to point out too yesterday, and I agree with this 100%. Like, if there were beefs in the house, it's pretty standard, right? You spend that much time with people, but again, if you're not, you know, Mike would always talk about, you know, being an elite adjusting team, and he didn't do that. He didn't clearly adjust.
That's a good point.
You know, his attitude, and then the team didn't adjust much this year. He didn't, and he was kind of in charge of that. We would ask him, like, you know, this lineup decision or this guy not playing. You know, there was no real adjustments, and it was stubbornness, you know. And the quote that will live with me, it lives in my head, is the Johnson City quote. That's the quote for me that I went, he's lost the plot, you know, in the playoffs. He doesn't get it. That's the one for me that I completely said, okay, like, he's at his wit's end when he said, it doesn't matter, I put six lefties in a lineup in Johnson City, and we won the league. Well, you know, as I said the next morning, this isn't Johnson City. You know, this is the big leagues, and they have guys that can get your three lefties out. But there was just no adjustment there. And that quote for me was the one where I went, all right, it's never going to jive with me.
So, because I felt the same way as a fan, I was pretty turned off towards the end of the season with the stubbornness,
yep.
and not sure that anything would change next year. You know, if Mike Schilt's here. I wouldn't be surprised if he's pushing for a Luis Arraez contract extension. He's back in the two hole playing first base next year.
Yep.
And that kind of concerned me quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, for sure.
So now I ask you, and I understand we got to wait and see who replaces Mike Schilt, but are the Padres better off in 2026 without Mike Schilt? Or would they be better with Mike Schilt, all that we know?
Okay, knowing
and how you felt at the end of the season.
Knowing what you know, absolutely. You dodged a bullet. Because if he's not committed and doesn't think he's got it in him to do it, then no, you don't want that guy as the skipper. You at all.
Jace Tingler's fellow coaches love Jace Tingler.
Sure.
I mean, you can't just hire someone who's going to make the staff and the coaches happy. They also have to have the expertise and whatever it takes to be able to win for the San Diego Padres. You're not going to be successful just by hiring another Jace Tingler who is good at fostering,
suggesting,
you know, positivity. It's got to be more than that. It really does. You have to hold on to the good that Mike Schilt brought.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a career suicide for AJ Preller if he makes the no-name hire, the third base coach of some single-A franchise. You know what I mean? Like, that was where Tingler came out of nowhere. If you want to throw out a first-time manager entirely, I guess you can have that conversation, but, like, I don't know. AJ Ellis, if he were to get the job, Ruben Niebla would be a first-time manager. That's a little bit different than bringing in Jace Tingler, because we all go, who? Who was that?
Yeah, who the fudge?
Who the fudge is Jace Tingler?
Jace Tingler.
I won't say that about Ruben Niebla, I promise.
No, we know Ruben very well, but I think, you know, I think you're in, well, again, it's the question is, if you, knowing what you know now and how just frazzled he was at the end of the year, I'm glad that he is looking after his health and is moving on.
You don't want someone coming back who's frazzled and who's not healthy and is not in a good mental space. So, yes, that's a good thing. The Padres can move on to something else.
No doubt.
As Paulie said.
I mean, forget the health. I'm talking about the tyrant-type atmosphere that he harbors. Is that good or bad?
No, it's not good.
It's fine if you win. Again, it's fine. If you win, all of it works. If you win at the end of the year, hey, sorry, I yelled at you. Give me that bottle of bubbly. Let's pour it on each other and drink some Budweisers together and have a great time. Everything is fine if you win. Manny's not a diva. Toddy's not a diva. All that crap goes away if you win a World Series. It sounds simple. It's not, obviously, to win a World Series. But all of those narratives, they're dead on the vine when that happens. It's two big F you fingers to everybody. I did it the right way because we won. There's an infallible way to end all of it. Win. That's it.
I think ultimately, you know, when I think of Mike Schilt and when I think of him going forward, I'm going to remember a man who maybe worried too much about what was being said about him. But at the same time, and this applies to you, Woods, and Paul, our job, and probably most people, you can't worry too much about what people are saying and thinking, but you can't not worry about it at all.
Correct.
Because it's a hard line, ends of the spectrum, if you don't worry about at all what people are saying or thinking, you're also psychotic. But if you only or worry too much about what people are saying, you'll go off the rails that way.
Yeah,
and
man,
where is the sweet spot? I mean, I think we struggle to find it sometimes,
sure,
as well. We care what the audience, the tier ones, say about us, but we can't care all the time about it every day, or we'd go crazy.
It can't dictate your show.
But if we just said, screw what the audience thinks, we wouldn't be very good at our jobs.
Correct.
Either. You have to find the feeling somewhere in the middle of caring for the people that, what kind of, you know, what they think of you, especially your colleagues that you work with. You can't just ignore that, but you also can't let it define you as well and not be yourself. There's a middle ground, and we all have to find it.
Yeah. I agree.
Fun right. stuff this week. Fun stuff.
Ooh. Man. Wednesday? Just Wednesday?
It's just where we Wednesday.
Are? Not even quite halfway through this week. Don't Do This is coming up next. Let's talk about the Pfister. We need a little levity in our life.
Pfister? Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
There's never going to be a time on this show that you want to talk about the Pfister, and I'll say no. Ever. That is, you have carte blanche.
Okay? That, of course, is the hotel where visiting teams stay in Milwaukee, including for the National League Championship Series the last couple of days. Have more. We know Mookie doesn't stay there.
Correct.
Now we've got another Dodger.
Another Dodger out of the Pfister.
Doesn't want to stay with his team.
Who doesn't want to go to the Pfister? They'd have to keep me out of there.
That is coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Quickly, let me tell you guys about QC Kinetics. I know that you've seen my television commercial. If you watch TV, they've gotten a lot of mileage out of the QC Kinetics commercial. And they had me swinging a golf club at the time, but yeah, I could have easily been a baseball bat or a guitar or holding a kid in each arm, all things I couldn't do when I had very damaged and painful wrists. But I went to QC Kinetics, met with Dr. Jackson and his team, and they fixed me up. I absolutely love that place. I know if something in one of my joints doesn't feel right, I can go there, get the treatment, and it's super, super simple. Simple injection, not a hospital stay, fast, all natural. There's no downtime. So if your knees, back, shoulders, any of that stuff keeping you from enjoying your life, explore all your options before you agree to more pills or more surgery. Dr. Jackson, a former orthopedic surgeon, this guy has seen it all. He knows all about it. So call QC Kinetics today. Schedule a free consultation and take charge of your health. Look beyond the same old solutions. First consultation's free. No reason to wait. Call QC Kinetics now. Locations in Hillcrest and Torrey Hills. 619-614-PAIN. 619-614-PAIN. That's 619-614-PAIN. It's QC Kinetics. Let them know Woodsy from the commercial on TV and radio sent you.
Don't. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Got a Padres smorgasbord coming up in just a few minutes. Is the Padres job really the most attractive managerial opening in baseball? First, though, it is time for Don't Do This. It is brought to you by Trust and Will.
Don't.
Leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die.
Do.
Set up a Trust or Will online at trustandwill.com.
This.
There's a lot more affordable than you think, Joe.
Trust and Will.
Visit trustandwill.com for more info.
Get a trust, folks.
Not nearly as loud and
get a
excited
trust,
as he
folks.
Would be.
Get a trash, folks! I'm honing it. I'll be able to do a full game by next year.
Quick update on a story from earlier this
week. We're
going
to have to watch him call another Dodgers World Series.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When you think jump right into our nightmare. The water is warm for all of us in San Diego. But at least we live in San Diego. That's the one thing we can always fall back on. This is an update to the Don't Do This story of Brian Branch, who went after Juju Smith-Schuster and slapped him upside the head, inciting a massive brawl the other night against the Chiefs against the Lions game. He has been suspended for one game for his aggressive and entirely unwarranted outburst. Did you guys see the block that Schuster put on him?
Yeah.
Would have pissed me off, too. It would have. It would have pissed me off completely, undercut his legs, then stepped over him after. Refs missed all of that, of course. So after the game, he went up to him. Hey, bud, nice game. Whoosh. Slapped him upside the head instead, and he's going to have to do a game, sit a game, but he will appeal. And so, look, no excuse. Obviously, you got to control yourself. You're professional. But I kind of understood.
Yeah, but even his own coach.
His coach was mad, dude. His coach was mad.
Let it get to you. You got to keep your head about you.
Yeah.
Story number two. I think things are getting out of control. I know you think it's funny. Jesse Agler brought us some souvenirs, mugs from the Pfister Hotel. It's where the Padres and other visiting teams stay in Milwaukee.
Pfister? Yeah, absolutely.
It's a historic,
more than
100-year-old hotel that has a reputation for perhaps being haunted. So much so that players like Mookie Betts famously won't stay there. He'll get an Airbnb when the team is in Milwaukee rather than stay with the team at the hotel. Now, according to reporting from our friend Jesse Rogers, as well as Bob Nightingale from USA Today, Teoscar Hernandez is also not staying at the hotel. Now, he doesn't think it's haunted, but his wife does.
His wife does. So that pretty much means he thinks it's haunted.
Families travel with the team in the playoffs. He's going, I can't stay there either. So he's off on his own as well. But here, I thought some very interesting reporting in USA Today. The truth, one former MLB executive says, is that it's often, and you know, these are lights going on and off, TVs, you know, mysteriously going on and off during the night. It's often just gags being played by teammates. The doors to the rooms on the older side of the hotel don't go all the way to the floor, leaving about a quarter inch gap from the bottom. So, guys will take their TV remotes from their rooms, go around to other player and staff rooms in the middle of the night, clicking TVs under their doors. I've seen a ton over the years. That's where the whole haunted thing started back in the day. So the hotel is not haunted? He goes, not haunted, he said. Players are actually taking their TV remotes and turning on and off TVs in other rooms from under the door just to spook their teammates while they're in Milwaukee.
Don't buy it at all, even a little bit.
Pfister? Yeah, absolutely.
I've read stories of the Pfister. Giancarlo Stanton. Who's bigger and tougher than Giancarlo Stanton? No one is bigger than tougher than Giancarlo Stanton. He said, man, quote, I hate when we have four games there. Two, three, anything's better than four.
His quote was,
it's freaky as S. With the headshot paintings on the walls and the old curtains everywhere.
Well, that was like the Airbnb in Arizona with the baby picture. It is creepy, but it's not haunted. There's a difference between creepy and haunted.
It reminds me of the Disneyland haunted house. The less time I'm there, the better, which is a ringing endorsement for the Pfister.
I will fully accept the hotel may be a little dated and creepy. Doesn't make it haunted, just like our Airbnb was very creepy.
Beyond.
But it wasn't haunted.
Beyond.
All right, finally, a little doo-doo this.
D-D mega doo-doo.
As baseball fans, I think we can all take this as good news. Reportedly, TV ratings for the playoffs are higher than they've been in 15 years. The numbers coming out of Fox, MLB, and ESPN for the first couple of rounds of the series. Through the roof, viewership is averaging 4.33 million through the division series, a 30% increase over last year. Last Friday's 15-inning thriller, remember, this is a Friday night, averaged almost 9 million viewers on Fox for that game, was watched by everywhere. That's the most watched division round game in 14 years. And this is good news for baseball as they head toward, you know, labor negotiations and everything coming. You know, more revenue is good. Now, I do get the sense that we may be losing a little momentum here in these playoffs.
Yeah, because both teams are up 2-0. They've stolen, each team has stolen two on the road. Both teams look pretty locked in. I still give the Blue Jays a shot to win a game here or there.
Maybe a gentleman's sweep.
I don't give the Brewers a shot to do anything. I really don't.
And I think we are approaching Dodger fatigue. Now, there's a lot of Dodgers fans, so they'll keep the numbers, I think, okay. But isn't there a part of you that is like, I don't want to watch the Dodgers, especially with, you know, Joe Davis calling another World Series win for the Dodgers? Is that not going to hurt baseball?
I don't think so.
An all-West Coast series?
That's going to hurt us.
It'll hurt us. I don't think it'll hurt the ratings.
Will West Coast series be bad for ratings? Seattle and Los Angeles?
Maybe, but I think...
Who cares?
Baseball's on fire right now. And I think, again, you know, you have Shohei Ohtani. You have these massive stars on your team. Ultimately, baseball is going to benefit ratings-wise from the Dodgers being in the World Series. There's no question. I'm not saying, believe me, I'm not saying there's some conspiracy to get them in. They're really good.
Yeah. Every October we do this. We're like, what matchups? Oh, MLB doesn't want that matchup.
Right.
Who gives an S?
I know.
You don't care what the ratings are.
I don't care what the ratings are.
Nobody
I couldn't
does.
Care less.
Not
I'll,
you, but like,
I'll be watching regardless.
I want baseball to be healthy.
It is very healthy.
It's extremely
it's
healthy.
Massively healthy.
And it wouldn't
right
be
now.
Less healthy if it was
Dodgers,
two
Mariners.
Small market teams.
Right. Or if
Brewers, Mariners.
Right, right.
They lucked into Dodgers, Yankees last year.
That was
a clear win for Major League Baseball.
For sure.
It's not going to be that this year.
No. But Dodgers will be there. Book it.
And that is Don't and Do This for a Wednesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Who's ready for a Padres smorgasbord? Is it the most attractive managerial opening in baseball? What about the other ones? We'll go through the eight openings and discuss which ones we think managers want to go after, which ones are not quite as attractive. We'll get to all of that coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fam. First, though, talk about Daily Fantasy. My app is Prize Picks. I've been doing it for over a year now, getting into my second football season here, my second basketball season getting underway. It's very easy to play with Prize Picks, where you can cash in on games you're already watching on television. Make your picks in less than 60 seconds. Turn your takes into cash all season long on Prize Picks. You're just setting lineups against stat projections, against the numbers. You look at your app, there'll be a ton of different boards, squares, and it'll be more or less whatever numbers you're looking at. If it's rushing yards, receiving yards, and basketball points, rebounds, assists, they're all there. It's the games you're watching, and it's a chance to turn your sports watching into real money. If you have a particular player you really enjoy, like, say, Steph Curry, Prize Picks now offers stacks, meaning you can pick the same player up to three times in the same lineup. So Steph Curry points, three-pointers, and assists, you can put all of those into a lineup on Prize Picks. When you win, easy to get your money out, offering Venmo, Apple Pay, and MasterCard. And speaking of that, it's easy to get some extra money into your account when you download the Prize Picks app today. Use code KWFN to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. That's code KWFN to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, it's good to be right. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking forward to having Jordan Schusterman join us from Cespedes Family Barbecue, talking baseball, ALCS, and more. Coming up 1 hour from now at 8:35. All guests on Ben and Woods appear on the David P. Shapiro Fan Hotline. Facing criminal charges, trust David P. Shapiro criminal defense attorneys helping clients regain control since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. All right, we've got a Padres smorgasbord coming up. Where'd you go? You just left.
Pee-pee.
Oh. A little late, but glad you're back.
Number one.
Yeah,
do
number one.
We just had a whole break.
I know, I was busy.
Oh, all right. We'll get to the Padres smorgasbord right after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Padres smorgasbord.
All right, never mind.
Yeah.
Call it something else. Having a bad day, let's make it worse for you. Literally puts me in a bad mood. It was my idea, so I'll just wear it. My Lilo and Fish for all time.
Haven't really gone through a ton of what AJ Preller had to say yesterday, considering we spent most of our time discussing Kevin Acey's piece that dropped about 10 hours later. However, there were some interesting topics, including some things about the players in the offseason as well. Mason Miller, Adrian Morihone.
We don't know anything.
We don't really know anything.
We're not holding anything back for
AJ
you guys.
AJ deflected on just about everything, including his own contract status.
Yeah, that was big.
He was asked about that. He said, love San Diego. We'll at some point in the future about an extension. UT is reporting, Jeff Sanders, saying it is reported many sources in the organization that they're preparing a contract extension offer for AJ Preller.
Good.
So,
will he take it?
I don't know. I guess we don't know the answer to that.
No. Didn't see.
It doesn't sound like they're trying to push him out the door either.
Yeah. No.
AJ's first priority, though, is hiring a new manager. He was asked, are you the one who actually makes that decision? And he said, it'll be me and John Seidler and Eric Grubner and Josh Stein will probably be the foursome that has the final say on who is hired as the manager. They will have an interview process. It will be thorough. They're compiling their list now. They're getting calls now. He said, got a lot of calls just yesterday of people who wanted to throw their hat into the ring. And AJ went on to say that he feels like with Petco Parks, 3.5 million fans, being San Diego, being a roster with talent and stars, that the Padres' job may be the most attractive currently available to any managerial candidate out there. And I wanted to make that the focus of today's Padres smorgasbord. There are 8 open managerial jobs right now. Texas Rangers were the 9th, but they already filled it with Skip Schumacher. Is the Padres' job the one that is the most appealing? I think to me, the biggest contenders, I mean, you can throw a couple out the window right now. The Rockies,
tough.
It's not an easy job for
definitely
many,
not, okay,
many reasons.
Let's do pros and cons. All right. So the pros are zero expectations. Zero.
Correct.
Right.
Good fan base.
Good fan base.
Yeah.
Good ballpark.
City.
Good city.
Yeah. Coming off 119 losses.
Nowhere to go but up. Right. So, like, you go out and you win 50 games. You've improved. 50. You win 60, you're a legend. You win 75.
You're manager of the year.
You're manager of the year. So the expectations are limited. So is the talent right now. But you do have some young players that are fairly exciting coming up through the ranks. I don't know where they rank prospect-wise. David Jay's in the chat. He could probably tell me at the drop of a hat. Great job on the presser yesterday, David. But if you know where the Rockies sit on farm ranking, better than us. I'll tell you that right now. They are better than the San Diego Padres as far as farm system goes.
I think everywhere else has some appeal also, though.
Okay.
The Minnesota Twins are a tough one. You know, they got rid of a ton of their players already. So you're in a big rebuild if you go to Minnesota. But it is a franchise that has had success and success recently. You know, Rocco Baldelli had some 3 playoff seasons, I think, 100-win season not that long ago. They're not the most competitive in terms of media market, however. Good ballpark, though. Everyone likes Target Field up there. But I would say that's near the lower end of the spectrum. I would say
they don't spend a lot.
I would say the Angels are at the lower end of the spectrum as well. Now, you know, Artie Moreno has spent money for sure on players, not spent it well. You're still saddled with some aging stars, but you do have some good younger players as well, like Zach Neto, Joe Adell. I mean, there are some good, exciting players in that organization.
I swear to God, Zach Neto would be enough for me. Let's say it's the only offer you got and you want to manage, but I'd be like, Zach Neto is a reason I want to come to the ballpark every day. I love that kid. I think he is a complete and total gamer. He would fill my cup, as Mike liked to say.
It's Southern California, but it's clearly the worst of the three Southern California locations and teams, right?
I don't like traffic very much. It would be 2 out of 3 on my list.
Orange County's traffic is
it's pretty bad. You're right. You're right.
It's no,
you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right.
Inland, Anaheim. Anaheim is not. It's not great.
I loved the stadium. We had such a great time. We went up there. The fans are good. They're hungry. Neto seals the deal for me. They would have to bring him in to seal the deal. I love that kid. He would get me out of bed in the morning. I'm not kidding, man. That's how much I love that dude.
I think the Nationals, maybe more toward the middle of this list, certainly lots of young talent, but, man, they have not been able to put anything together since winning the World Series.
They have a new ownership group, do they not?
They do.
Okay. That would be semi-exciting. What young talent do they have? They have McKenzie?
CJ Abrams.
They have James Wood.
James Wood.
These are people.
Players to build around.
Will you be able to keep them?
I don't
correct.
Know.
Do they have anybody else besides the 3 former Padres that we can remember
really.
From that trade?
As far as good young players?
No pitching outside of Gore. And Gore is a little, I mean, he
fell off a little bit.
A little bit at the end of the season. That's not one of the more attractive jobs. DC's a good stadium, good ballpark. They have that World Series title. That almost makes it harder, though. They recently know what success looks like. Their expectations of that are never going to be met, you know, at least not anytime soon, it looks like. I think it's a tough job in Washington. Baltimore, Orioles.
Yeah.
Similar spot.
Good young talent.
If ownership would commit to, you know, putting it all together, feels like that could be a really good place. Got our friend Adam Jones in the organization. Got lots of good young players. You've got a great farm system that you
good
could
ballpark.
Trade. Got
yep.
a good ballpark, one of the better ones.
It's attractive.
I think it's a pretty attractive gig. San Francisco Giants.
Great gig.
I think so.
Yeah. Great gig.
Buster Posey.
Bryce Eldridge. Logan Webb. Jung-Ho Lee. Ramos,
you added a star in Rafael Devers already.
Willie Adames will figure it out. Matt Chapman, your left side of the infield's pretty set. Bryce Eldridge comes up. Buster Posey's your GM. He's psychotically wants to win.
Great city, great ballpark.
Absolutely, that's probably 1 and 1A with the Padres.
Unless you hate the smell of garlic fries.
Well, okay. Well,
but
I mean,
other than that,
I like the smell. I don't like to eat them.
It's a good job. I mean, you know, expectations are probably still pretty high,
very high,
as they always will be
very
in
high.
San Francisco.
But that's a good job.
That's
going to be an interesting one.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You forget you're competing with all of these teams.
You're in the NL West. That's a tough division to get thrown into with the Dodgers.
I mean, we now are competing to find the skipper with 7 other teams. As of now, just 7 other teams. There's still... Ugh. Potentially more axes to fall.
Think about how delicately you have to be aggressive and quick to move before somebody else, another team, takes the guy that you're hoping to sign.
8 openings is crazy.
But you also got to do your due diligence, and you owe it to everybody in the organization to make sure you do a thorough job in vetting out the next manager. But that would be tough to want to be detailed and thorough and also have to, you know, AJ said there's no time... no time constraint.
I mean, part of it is if you feel like you're the most attractive job, you can get some of the best candidates to be a little more patient. And you say, hey, I'm still up for the Padres job. I'm not necessarily ready to take your offer. So
yeah, there's going to be a lot of pitting against each other.
You know, what's the latest you can think of a manager being hired by a team?
Good question. I have no idea.
I mean,
they have to be in place by the winter meetings, right?
Yes.
AJ said the GM meetings. I looked it up. I think those are November 10th they start.
Okay.
But,
so that's a month.
And he said that's not even a date.
Deadline. It could be after that. But it has to be before the winter meetings in December, I would think.
I think so,
You're not going into the winter meetings without a manager.
Okay.
All right. Atlanta Braves.
Great gig. Yeah. Phenomenal. That may be the best.
I'd say with the Padres and Braves, those to me are the two that...
Giants
are close, but I think the Braves, with a healthy Acuna coming back again next year, you've got
Strider figured out, you got Olsen, you have superstars in Atlanta. You have a committed fan base, you have a great ballpark, you have a tradition, an ownership group that will spend.
You throw the season in the dumpster and just go, one off,
happens
just a bad year, everyone has a bad year, and
regroup.
Let's go right back to winning.
Yep.
I mean, we thought they would be a 100-win team this last year. Back to the playoffs, no problem. Didn't work out, but I think the fundamentals of the organization haven't really changed who they are and what they're going to be.
I think that's
they'll be contenders.
Very attractive gig. Also, prerequisite one, can you stay awake during games? You can. We're going to move you on to the next round. That's it? That's the only question you have for me? Yes. Do you have the ability to not sleep during a baseball game? Yes, I do. Okay. Move to the next one.
And then there's the San Diego Padres. I mean, the pros are obvious.
Right.
What are the cons?
The cons are it's tumultuous. Tumultuous. It's tumultuous whether, you know, you can point to, like, AJ takes responsibility for it, certainly. He shares some of that responsibility. The players take responsibility for it. They share some of that responsibility. The fans take zero responsibility for it. Zero. You put your asses in that ballpark 72 times out of 81, and you filled it up. Zero responsibility.
What questions? Let's say you are a top managerial candidate, and you are going in to interview your questions. Now they say, what questions
away.
Do you right. have for us?
What's
about
going
our
on?
Organization?
What's going on with ownership?
Correct.
Okay. What's going on with ownership? I noticed that you guys are top 10 in payroll right now. Is that guaranteed to stay the case over the next 5 years? You pitched me a 5-year deal. Will that stay the case? Will you commit to being a top 10 payroll in the next 5 years? Yes or no, right? So those are things that I want to know.
Your first question, maybe to yourself, has to be, why have they had so many managers in so few seasons?
I agree.
That would absolutely.
What's going on with all the turnover?
Cause for concern.
I don't want to be the next, you know, in the churn of managers.
I don't want to be the next.
Now, like, AJ said yesterday, I want to hire the guy that's going to be here for 10 years.
By the way,
like
I'm sure, I'm sure he does. I'm sure he does.
He's said that with every manager.
Yes, he has.
I'm sure he does.
He thought Bob Melvin was going to be here for 10 years.
I would ask about AJ Preller. And
he's probably going to be in there.
Yeah, maybe.
Can you leave for like
sidebar,
10 minutes?
Sidebar. What is it really like working for him? And I don't think it's as bad as some people will make it indicate. Is AJ a madman? Yeah, he's a bit of a madman. Is he working all the time? Odd hours? Will he text in the middle of the night? Is he an unreasonable human being? I don't get that from AJ. I actually don't see that from AJ Preller. I think he has some humanity to him, actually, as well. Is he driven? Is he very baseball focused all the time? Yes. I don't think he's a nightmare to work for. I believe that when it comes to the 30 managerial jobs, he's more hands off than most when it comes to his skipper in the dugout. He really does try to let his manager run his team the way the manager wants to run his team. Sometimes he bites his tongue. Sometimes he
doesn't.
And, you know, you shouldn't always. It's ultimately his responsibility. So sometimes he does say things, but I would think that's not the worst thing about being the Padres manager is working for AJ Preller.
Well, I mean, just the fact that there are so many other attractive jobs out there is going to be it's going to be tough. You know, you better have it kind of honed down on who you want, because you don't want to get to a Jace Tingler situation again where you really had somebody in mind that fell through and then you're like, let's pivot. I don't, that was probably the biggest panic move of AJ Preller's career, other than maybe some of the weird trades, but like every GM has weird trades. That panic move to get Tingler, you know, I heard the story, like, it was a panic. It was full on panic, and the Tingler was like, "Are you sure? Like, I don't even know that I want this right now." And that was a panic move. It's a GM with not a lot of experience at that point, and panicked.
It's pretty universally believed that AJ Preller was pressured by the late great Peter Seidler as well, with maybe the Manny extension,
yes,
the Xander contract,
correct.
But ultimately, those are also going to fall. Those could fall as a panic signing.
Yep, and those all, and that's the thing, is you wear those.
You're like, you know? Hey man, I'm not leaving these winter meetings without somebody. I didn't get Trey Turner. I didn't get Aaron Judge.
Go get Xander.
I'm getting Xander Bogaerts. Yeah.
I think the worst thing though about both the Padres and the Giants openings is the same thing. You are in a division with the LA Dodgers.
Correct. How do you zig while they're just zigging and zagging at the same time? Because I this is not Dodger loving.
NL East ain't much easier.
But it kind of is.
It's not much easier.
They spend money. They have the ability to not use players, and they have. And guess what else they are? They're really good.
Yeah.
They're
all of a sudden, really, Minnesota doesn't really sound good. That bad. Oh, I just have to get past the Guardians.
Colorado doesn't sound that bad. You're just chilling, but there's no expectations. Zero.
We will come back. 2 hours to go. Jordan Schusterman take on Woods. All ahead in hour number three. Ben and Woods, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.